I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS's Top of the Morning. U.S. consumer trends and behaviors have been reshaped in recent time. Today, we discuss how consumers and retailers have been adapting to the current environment, the changes that might stay with us post the crisis, and more. Joining me here on the line for the podcast this morning is Rob Samuels. Rob is the Consumer Analyst Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. So, Rob, good morning to you. Welcome back, and looking forward to our conversation today.
Good morning, Dan. Nice to be here again.
So, Rob, it's great to have you, and looking forward to our conversation on the current and potential future state of the U.S. consumer. I know we're currently in the midst of the Q1 retail reporting season. Maybe before we get to the consumer commentary, do you want to get your thoughts and takeaways on the results we've been seeing from some of the retailers thus far?
Yeah, so I would say thus far this week, I think the key theme has been checks, checks, checks. And what I mean by that is that you've clearly seen a pickup in business beginning in middle of April, largely due to stimulus checks that were getting mailed out at that time. So what we've seen is really the last 2 weeks of April extending into May, really month to date. You've seen quite a big acceleration in same-store sales, and it's been across several different retailers. Walmart reported it. Home Depot has. This morning, TJX reported that their stores, once reopened, have reopened pretty solidly. Lowe's yesterday reported a similar type of thing. So clearly, the consumer has been taking those stimulus checks and going out and spending them. Where the stores have been reopened, I think that store traffic, really depending on the type of retailer, store traffic has been, I would say, okay. You know, I think home improvement has clearly been one where people have been out in the stores, looking to work on their homes. A lot of the seasonal type of product sales, and they've been quite good. Obviously, consumables continue to be rather strong. We are beginning to hear from more of some of the apparel type of retailers. It doesn't quite seem like they've been, quite as good as some of the other categories. But I think in general, those stimulus checks are getting used, and the consumer, has been out there.
Well, it is interesting to hear how different retailers and components of the sector, how they've been faring during this recent period. Maybe focusing in on the U.S. consumer more so for a moment, Rob, how have consumers generally been adapting to the current environment that we're in?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we've clearly seen over the last, 2.5 months or so is just the acceleration in e-commerce sales. I mean, the e-commerce growth numbers that we've been seeing for Q1 have just been staggering. We've seen anything from 80% e-commerce growth at Home Depot and Lowe's to north of 100% at some other retailers. So clearly, the consumer has been at home. They've been shopping online and getting a lot more comfortable shopping online for really everything, not just the things that we have been shopping online for, electronics and that type of thing, but really getting more comfortable grocery shopping online. Groceries only about 3-4% of total total grocery sales now, but only about 3-4% online. We think that number is going to accelerate quite substantially over the next number of years. So I think you've seen pull to online, consumers continue to shop online. I think that's been really the real key trend that I can say. I think also certain categories, have continued to do well. I mentioned home improvement, athletic, I think continues to be, a relatively good category too. Think about what everyone is, at home wearing right now. It's just a lot of yoga pants and sweatpants. I think the athletic category has been very resilient. Footwear, especially, I think has been quite resilient. So I think there are, certain categories that, have held up, quite reasonably well over the last, last quarter.
Well, the shift to online seems really apparent. Where I'm situated in my home, I have a view of my street, and at least a dozen times per day, you do see delivery trucks going up and down the street delivering packages. So people are clearly moving to online as a way to consume. And just in terms, Rob, of how this all might result in lasting changes, I know over the years you've been speaking about the decline in brick-and-mortar retail. You wonder, does that accelerate that trend? We've heard about some bankruptcies of iconic retail names and big box names. What can you share with us there?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I mean, John Wollison and I put out a report earlier this week on retail and retail real estate. I know we'll be chatting more about that in the coming days, but we absolutely think that the effects of the virus lockdown will only exacerbate, you know, brick and mortar's existing challenges. And really, it's been a hammer blow to the sector. You know, we've seen numerous store closures over the past several years, but we do expect the effects of the pandemic to only accelerate consolidation in the retail sector. I mean, just recently, we've seen bankruptcy filings from J. Crew, J.P. Penney, Neiman Marcus, Stage Stores. You know, these retailers that will likely liquidate hundreds of stores, and I don't think we've seen the end of it. You know, so I clearly believe that the online trend is only going to continue to accelerate going forward. You know, we expect to see you know, more store closures, you know, particularly the hard hit department store sector. You know, we expect that to continue to decline in terms of the number of stores. I mentioned JCPenney filing for bankruptcy, but I expect Macy's will close more stores. Nordstrom has announced some store closures as well. So we expect some of those stores that have been closed, you know, to likely never reopen again. So, you know, we absolutely, you know, believe that e-commerce is just going to accelerate growth. And I think that it's interesting to point out that, you know, since 1999, you know, there's never been a year when online market share didn't increase versus offline. And there's never been any product that's moved online where brick and mortar has taken share back from online. So, you know, we just think e-commerce is continue to, you know, really be the place that we should share accelerate.
Rob, what are your expectations for consumer behavior as lockdown measures begin to be lifted across the U.S.? I know prior to the start of the podcast, you and I were talking about how in our respective states, lockdown measures are beginning to be lifted a bit. Retail stores are beginning to open up gradually. And of course, there's a lot of pent up demand, I'm sure, people wanting to get out of their homes and venture out a bit. So what do you expect to see in terms of consumer behavior?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend a lot on how strict the lockdowns have been. So here in the Northeast, where we've been really hard hit, I would expect, you know, the stores are slowly beginning to open again. I think the consumer is probably a little bit more cautious than what we've seen in some of those southern states that have opened up that haven't been hit quite as hard. And you've been hearing about, you know, rather positive consumer trends, people feeling comfortable going out, eating at a restaurant, going to shop in the store. So I think a lot of it is going to depend on what the individual experience by state. Now, if we look at what's gone on overseas, particularly in China, you know, we have seen, you know, steady recovery over there since their lockdowns ended. And, you know, just about, you know, 5 minutes before we started this call, you know, Starbucks mentioned that they are seeing just continued improvement over in China at a bit of an accelerated pace, as well as, you know, some better results here in the U.S. too. So you are seeing the consumer come back, but, you know, too early to say, you know, what the trend is going to look like in the U.S. But I do believe that it's really going to be very regionalized and depend on. You know, how the experience during lockdown.
Yeah, but certainly sounds very circumstantial, but of course, Asia, parts of Europe, weeks, if not months ahead of us with this recovery. So it's encouraging to hear about some reopening efforts and trends being experienced in those parts of the world and how it might eventually translate to what we see here in the U.S. in the coming weeks and months. Just looking ahead a bit, Rob, what's your current outlook for the consumer sector in terms of performance?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, we still have, you know, millions of people out of work. You know, the unemployment rate has, you know, spiked. So, you know, the consumer is in a, you know, not in such a great shape right now. So we do expect it to be, you know, a slow, you know, gradual type of recovery. Some categories doing better than others. It's been pretty interesting to see how, you know, how resilient, you know, the housing market has been. You know, I mentioned some other categories that have been a little bit better, you know, than others. But, you know, we do think that it's going to be, you know, highly promotional, you know, once things begin to open up. Think about the amount of inventory that is currently sitting in stores that is going to be, have to be moved and, you know, marked down. We think it's going to be a very highly promotional environment really through the end of this year and into the beginning of next year. So that's not such a great thing for margins. So, you know, even as the sales begin to pick up, you know, what's the profitability going to be on those sales? I think that's going to be a big question that investors are going to ask themselves. I think it's going to be, you know, very value driven. This is going to be a very value conscious consumer, you know, as many people, you know, are out of work and continue to be out of work. So I think we want to continue to be, you know, somewhat more defensive, you know, leaning a little bit more on the staple side. But, you know, within discretionary, I think you can't, you really need to put a lot of importance on brand. And, you know, just how the strength of brand and, you know, the global nature of some of these businesses that can bounce back a little faster than others.
Yeah, to that point, Rob, given all of the unknowns that lie ahead of us, positioning can be challenging. You alluded to it a bit already, but what kind of guidance can you provide in terms of positioning within the space right now?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, I think we want to be, you know, somewhat more defensive, you know, somewhat, again, leaning towards, you know, some of those staple names, especially where the dividend yields are incredibly attractive versus where the 10-year currently sits. You know, within discretionary, I'd say, you know, value is going to be, you know, a key focus. So, you know, look to some of the value type names, whether it's on the off-price retail side, discount retail side. Brands, I think, are going to be very important when it comes to on the discretionary side, you know, especially those global brands that are, you know, exposed to multiple different categories as well as geographies. I think those probably, you know, fare somewhat better. And then I think, again, where the consumer is going to, you know, feel comfortable, you know, I think brands at the end of the day win. I mean, consumers trust, you know, brands that they know, that they trust the quality, et cetera. And I think those are the ones, you know, that are ultimate winners, as well as e-commerce. I mean, if you've got strong e-commerce, strong technology platform, you know, you're going to be a winner today, because I do think that even as things begin to open up, people are going to continue to take this nesting approach, spend a little bit more time in their home, and whether it's ordering online or, you know, doing things to spruce up their home environment, I think those will be winners as well.
Well, Rob, it was great catching up with you this morning. Really appreciate all of the insights you provided into the retail space as well as the U.S. consumer, and talking about some lasting changes that might result in terms of behavior from this COVID-19 pandemic. You did mention that next week, something to look forward to for our listeners, you'll revisit a retail real estate conversation with us, with your colleague, John Wallace. And John covers real estate and lodging for the Chief Investment Office. But that will be on Wednesday, May 27th for our listeners next week. So something to look forward to there. But Rob, again, great catching up with you this morning. Hope you have a nice Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Same to you, Dan.
And again, we have been joined this morning by Rob Samuels, Consumer Analyst Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. I do want to highlight many publications available for you now up on UBS Online Services. Rob did author on May 13th a piece, U.S. Equities Retail Earnings Should Highlight Wallet Share Shifts. So that is available for you now up on UBS Online Services. But if you are a client of UBS, as always, just reach out to your financial advisor, and your financial advisor can provide you with a copy of Rob's publication directly. Top of the Morning, we'll be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient, and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.